Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
G'day everyone and welcome to another episode of On The Grid. Thank you so much for joining us. A big show today, so no time for the news, but we're going to have a chat with Andre Heimgartner. He is the news. A great weekend for him at Perth. His team trying to turn things around in season 2022. Of course, his Brad Jones Racing is the team we're talking about, and also some good results from Macaulay Jones as well. We'll talk about that in just a tick. Also joining us for a chat, young Brock Feeney. What a fantastic start to supercars he's had with the Red Bull Ampol team at 888 over there. And we'll talk to Brock about the year so far in 2022. All right, Krause joins us, of course, as he always does at the top of the show. Back from Perth. How's the experience, buddy?
It's a long way to go, Shebex, but always worth the trip, I think. Wanneroo's a cracking little racetrack. Really good event. Loved the vibe there. The Saturday was felt major event. The Sunday and the bright sunshine felt like country race meeting. So both days had a different vibe about it, but really good racing. Gee, there's some stories to come out of the supercars field from the weekend. There was a lot going on in that paddock and on track as well, which we'll break down for you over the course of the show. But enjoyable weekend and nice just to be back at Wanneroo, Shebex. A classic, old school, short track supercars venue. Really enjoyable.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, one guy that had never been there before until he went there to do some radical racing a week before the supercars, just to learn the track a little bit. I reckon he learned it pretty well. Brock Feeney from Ampol Racing, Red Bull Ampol Racing, joins us. G'day, Brock. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you guys going?
Well, thank you, mate. It'll be pretty right to say that going and having that little bit of a race day in the radicals was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I think whenever you can go and drive the track before the race meeting is definitely going to be beneficial. And for the start of the championship for me, that was our fourth round and I've only been to one track and that was at Sydney. So anything that I could do to try and get my results a bit better and settle into this series a bit easier was 100% a go for.
And how did you find it, mate? What was your impression of Wanneroo Raceway in a supercar? It's a really unique little venue, isn't it? Completely different from anything else we've got on the calendar.
Yeah, it is. I loved it, to be honest. Not every driver's the world's biggest fan of Wanneroo, but I absolutely had a ball there. I thought the track was awesome. In our V8, especially when you come out of one up into four, it's a very cool part. And I think the biggest thing about the weekend was the fans. Like, Perth really got behind it. And as you said, Krause, like, Saturday night was awesome. The vibe around our signing sessions out the back of the garage, like, we had to cut people off. It was massive. So the track was awesome. But I think in general, Perth did a great job at hosting the event.
And I suppose the great thing, Brock, about doing it in the Radical the week before was the fact that even though the cars are totally different, horsepower-wise, they're very similar. So you got the experience of heading down that back straight into that final turn.
Yeah, it was great. And I think to do the Radical and also just drive a different car is always beneficial. And I felt like I always get something out of those days where you drive something different. So I'm always trying to drive something. But to do it the week of at Perth where we were racing was, yeah, it was awesome. And great to drive a Radical. Had a great time. I think the best thing about it was the lap times are only a couple of seconds apart. So that's massive. Even though the speed's made in different areas and there was a few different things, it's a track where you sort of need to get the ground running in first practice. So I'm glad I did it. But luckily for me, from now on in, I've been to every other track.
Yeah, which is going to be a good thing. And I think everyone else in the paddock will go, oh no, because so far your rookie season in supercars has been very strong, mate. You're sixth in the championship after the first four events. Is that on expectation? Is it above expectation? Or is it where you thought you would be at this point in your inaugural season?
Didn't really put a number on it, to be honest. And that's like as truthful as it gets. I didn't, especially championship-wise this early on, I've just been trying to focus on one race at a time. But It's been, like, looking back at it, it's been a pretty solid start. But, like, personally myself, I know I can do better than what I have been doing. And I think in the next few races, we should be able to show that. But from Sydney, like, I felt like I've improved so much. I've already gained a lot of experience, but I got so much longer to go. But I felt like I've come a long way so far. The lap times are getting better, and the race pace has been the biggest thing for me. Looking after tyres, longer races. So I feel like I'm getting a few more pieces of the puzzle at the moment, and slowly but surely, I think the results will start coming.
And in four rounds, mate, it feels like you're now just part of the paddock furniture. It feels like you've been there for ages. Does it still feel that for you, or do you still roll out of pit lane around guys like not only Shane, but Will Davo and Waters and Mostert and Bathurst winners and all these guys and go, yeah, this is still pretty cool?
Yeah, I think when I rolled out at Sydney, you know, it was a pretty cool experience. And to be at the front of the pit lane, you know, a lot of drivers get in the sport for a long time and sort of never make it to the front of pit lane. But to come in as a rookie, you're rolling out with your teammate as Shane Van Gisbergen's been pretty surreal. But felt like I've certainly, it starts to feel normal now. And the biggest change for me was, you know, racing every 3 months to racing every couple of weeks now. And it's starting to feel all natural to me, and I'm getting to know the guys that I'm racing as well. So it's been a massive learning curve so far this year, but I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can. But this year's about learning, gaining experience, and yeah, hopefully towards the end of the year, we can put some results together.
Mate, the expectation that was there before the start of the season, and I don't know whether it was a massive expectation or not, but there was a lot of noise being made by commentators and journalists. We weren't exempt from that either. We all were wondering how you would go this year. Did you hear any of that noise, and was any of it laughable at the time, or what was your thought about what was being said?
It was interesting to hear what people were thinking, and, you know, everyone's trying to put a number on where I was going to come this year. And yeah, some people were where I thought I'd sort of be around, and other people were probably a little bit further back than where I thought I'd be. So it's been interesting. You know, I don't take any real notice into social media, but I like sort of seeing what people think I'm going to end up, and hopefully I can prove a few of those guys wrong.
And how's the process been within the team? Because not only you coming in this year was a big change, but there's been pretty significant change behind the scenes at Triple Eight, and Jamie stepping out of the car into a role with the headset on, engineering stuff as well. How's that process felt from your point of view, and that sort of transition for you with the new structure behind the scenes as well?
I think it feels just as normal. Nothing's really changed from our perspective. Yeah. No, I don't. But I mean, a lot of the teams were questioning how strong we were going to be this year.
Mm.
Not only how strong I was going to be as a rookie, but new engineers, new team managers. Yeah, won't put any names out there, but there was a lot of guys commenting on that they thought we were going to struggle. And, you know, Shane's just carried on from where he was last year, absolutely smashing it as a team. And a rookie coming in to see us still on top of the team's championship has been awesome. And that's not only from my perspective, but Jamie as well, you know, taking control. Nothing's really changed, you know. Obviously, Shane's 99% of those points at the moment, but we're still in the mix. And yeah, I don't think there's been too much difference.
And it's like in any sport, isn't it, though? I mean, you could be the best person for your age, all that sort of stuff. You get drafted to a team that's on the bottom of the ladder and haven't won a game for 3 years, all of a sudden, you're going to struggle. It's just seeing, for you, though, you got drafted into a team that's been strong for so long, the best team around. You're giving yourself every chance to be not too bad.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way to look at it. But yeah, I still had to be given the opportunity to get to where I am. And I think last year sort of, yeah, did everything I could to prove that I was capable of getting that seat. And, you know, luckily enough, I had RD believing in me, and so was Jamie and the rest of the team to give me this promotion. But, you know, to be in this top team is, you know, there is certainly a lot of pressure that goes with it because there's a lot of results expected. But the team's been very supportive with me and getting me up to speed. And I think they know, you know, that I expect a lot from myself. And at the end of the day, they expect a lot from the team as well.
Brock, you mentioned that RD and Jamie believed in you and gave you the opportunity, which is fantastic. And they certainly did. Was there a drawn out process in regards to this? Were there other people in line for the seat as well? Did you know about that? Did this whole thing go over a whole period of time, or was it just you were pretty much the one that they were speaking to?
Yeah, it was quite a long plan. I think I was plan A, and if they needed to, they'd go to B, C, D. But the talk started at the end of 2020, towards my end of my first season in Super 2. RD sort of spoke to Paul Morris, who looked after me and still helps me out a lot, and said, hey, Jamie's going to retire at the end of 2021. We want to put Brock in Super 2 next year, and if he does a good job, we'll give him the drive. So towards the end of 2020, I knew that this was on the cards, and then I joined them in Super 2. And yeah, for the first 6 months before I got told I was getting the drive, it was all about trying to perform and trying to win that Super 2 championship. And I always said if I can win the championship, I feel like I'll be deserving of a drive in main game. Fortunately enough, it only took 3 rounds, and RD gave me the call and said I got the drive.
Tell me about having Shane Van Gisbergen as a teammate, Brock, because there are moments that we sit back in the media room or in the commentary box and go, how the hell has he done that? Is it a similar thing in you and your debriefs? Do you sit back and look at his data and go, that's extraordinary?
It's pretty amazing, and I'm so fortunate to have him as my teammate, especially in my first year of racing. A lot of people probably look as it as a downside, but I want to be doing what Shane's doing, and that's dominating the series. So if I can learn as much as I can off him, and at the end of the day, we're in equal equipment. So I know whatever I do, and I can see where Shane's results are, that's where I can achieve. So, I mean, you don't just look at the data and go, oh my God, he's doing one thing completely different to me. But the biggest thing that he stands out from the rest of the drivers, and I'm happy to say it, is his racing. Mm. Like, he's the guy that can pass anyone on the track and makes it look easy. So that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to learn at the moment, is the racecraft, and when you're back in the pack, how to position the car to get past those guys.
It's an acquired skill though, isn't it? It's not something that you could just watch Shane do something in race 10 and then you go out and do it in race 11.
No, it's not, but you can learn from a lot of the stuff that he does. But I mean, me and him are getting along really well, so I can still sit down and chat to him about some stuff and go through a lot of stuff. But yeah. If you watch the races, I mean, he's a level ahead of everyone at the moment, and he's just showing how good he is, and everyone's going on about he's at the peak of his career. He's just dominating it. So anything that I can learn off his racecraft is certainly going to help me in the long run. But, you know, as we all do, we want it now. So I'm hoping it's a long career ahead for me, but I'm just trying to do everything I can to fast track this progress and make sure I'm, you know, up there battling with him soon.
Last one, mate. Winton next. So you go from nice blue sunny skies at Perth, and if it's not snowing at Benalla at the end of May, I'll be surprised. And a different school of racetrack again. But as you said earlier, one you've been to. Just give us your thoughts on heading to that tricky little place. And then obviously after that, we're in the top end in the territory. So a couple of cool events to come.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think this is, you know, when you look at MotoGP and F1, it's like when they go back to Europe and they go back to their normal tracks that they race at. So I feel like we're heading back to our traditional calendar, where especially the places where I've been to before. And fortunately enough, I've got a rookie test day at Winton in a week's time. So that will be a couple of weeks before the race. So I'm looking forward to getting there. A day in the car at Winton's going to be awesome, not only for myself, but for the team as well. Obviously, all the Victorian teams test down there, and we haven't been there for, I think, 3 years. So it's going to be good to get the car back up to speed, but I'm looking forward to it. I felt like, you know, hopefully I can sort of start kickstarting the rest of the year and, try and finish on a strong note.
Good on you, mate. Congratulations on the year so far. It's been a fantastic start to your career, and let's hope that it just keeps getting bigger and better for you. All the best for Winton and the remainder of the season.
Thanks very much for having me on.
All right, Kwalsey joining us now is a man who had a pretty good weekend. He hasn't had a bad year, actually, as he keeps improving race on race, as his team does as well, Brad Jones Racing. He's had a couple of weeks to acclimatise himself over to that Perth weather. Andre Heimgartner is the man we speak of, and he joins us now. G'day, Andre.
Hi, guys. Good to be on the show.
Good to have you on the show, mate. How much of an advantage was it for you to be over there in Perth for a couple of weeks before the race and get sort of used to that time zone and that weather and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, it always helps. It's obviously Perth is a very long way from anywhere else, and I live in the Gold Coast, so you can't really get to opposite sides of Australia. You're on a plane for bloody 5.5 hours or whatever it is, and you haven't even left Australia. It's ridiculous. You can go to New Zealand and back almost that time.
Yes. So
it's it's an advantage to come in early, get used to the time zone, as you said. And myself, I struggle with my sleep patterns and stuff like that. So it was really good to come here, get in that zone. And then when the weekend came, it was no drama. Obviously, my partner's family's from here. So it's good also to see some family, some friends, and just start the weekend nice and relaxed.
Now, let's go straight to it, mate. Race two of the weekend. You get four tyres on the car and you get a late race safety car. Did your eyes just light up and go, yes, this is the break we've been looking for this season?
Yeah, for sure. It's been the last two rounds especially were pretty tough. We had lots of little dramas with the car, which hamstrung us a lot. And I knew this weekend we could get some results. I didn't think we'd be quite getting third, but yeah. On the safety car, I was thinking, oh shit, well, this is played into our hand nicely here. And but sometimes when you're in those situations, it actually doesn't work out as you think. You know, you think I got four tyres, blah, blah, blah. But the guys at the front often, you know, are just so speedy. And, you know, our car just wasn't that as fast as theirs, that often they can just hold you off or, you know, you burn your tyres up. So there's still a bit of doubt, but I, you know, knew that would be in contention.
The weekend itself for the team, everyone seemed to go along pretty well.
Yeah, it was good. Macaulay is good in the practices. Yeah. He's in the top 10 in both of them. So me and him, we have very similar driving styles. I'm trying to help him where I can. And it's, yeah, working really well between us two. I think Bryce had a bit more of a challenging weekend, just to try to find a setup and stuff like that. But look, as a group, this weekend was a good step forward, especially for our side of the garage.
Mate, it's been a challenging year for BJR. I think that's been obvious to see. Where have the biggest struggles come, do you feel, so far this year? And